Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
As we arrive at the final Sunday of Advent, I pray we have prepared our hearts. As the eggs of our incubator have been prepared and put into a room, an environment conducive to growth, I pray you have been able to be in an environment where your heart has been able to grow. We have chicks and we're gonna have more, and soon we will have Christmas. I pray that hope, peace, joy, and this week, love have found you in this season of preparation. As Christmas comes, as Christmas arrives, maybe earlier than you're ready, maybe the shopping is not done, maybe the wrapping has not been completed or started, maybe you're not quite ready for it. I hope that when it comes, you are ready and you've been able to change and transform in a way that makes a difference in your life. This morning, the number one thing I'm going to say, the thing I hope gets stuck in your head, the thing that you can write down or take notes on digitally in your Church Center app, if you would like, is this: God is with us. May we love like it. God is with us. May we love like it. Last week, I told you all to be holy goofballs. We talked about what joy is and how joy rooted in God's great love makes a difference because it allows us to be that sort of goofy, loving, excited, happy sort of community. Dare I say a happy church. I told you that a church marked by joy is a church changing their neighborhood. We can know that, you know, churches kind of have a corner on being sort of the place of seriousness, a place where not a lot of laughs happen, but we get to be something different. So I told you all to be holy goofballs. My friend Bernadette, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this, but it made me a better Christian, took that seriously and dressed like an elf at the holiday party for Hands of Fellowship. I believe no one else was in a costume, but she was, because she listens to her pastor and decided to be a holy goofball, and I'm very grateful for that. Sent me a picture of it, and I was like, I think I just got saved all over again. I'm so grateful for it, so thank you. I hope that you did something goofy this week. I hope that you did something to show people that you're marked by joy. It's a very easy time to be in a terrible mood. I have a December birthday, which means, you know, if you're over the age of 25, you know what your birthday means. The state sends you this lovely note that says, happy birthday, you got to re-register your car. And so I get to go to the DMV in December, right? I know you can do it online and stuff like that, but that doesn't help my pastoral illustration, so stay with me. I get to go to the DMV in December. Let me tell you, not the happiest place on earth. It is not the place to be. That's not Disney World. It is easy to be marked by sadness or anger during this time, but instead, may we be a church marked by joy. We also learned from Mary that she believed that God is a God of mercy and holiness, both of those things, that God is merciful, but God is also holy. That combo, those two things make a difference in the way that we perceive God and the way that we share with others. Those two things are important. If we don't see God as both merciful and holy, we're going to miss out on one of the aspects of God. And then we saw Mary's song, the Magnificat, where Mary shared her joy that Christ was coming and that also that God was going to pull down those with proud inclinations, those haughty people in community, and pull them down and lift up those that are lowly. That was Mary's song. That's what we heard from Mary. And we hear all of these things, we know all of these things, and we know that God is with us. May we love like it. So over these last 3 weeks and today, I've used something called the lectionary. Everyone say lectionary. Lectionary is this old like church Bible study that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. It allows churches to sort of be reading the same thing. So everyone knows what the reading is. It makes it a little bit easier for pastors. Some weeks it makes it very easy for pastors. Someone else suggests the scripture for you. You open it up. There are some passages, man, they just preach. You just read them out loud and everyone gets saved. It's great. I love it. It's so, so good. And then there's other weeks like this one where I opened it up And I looked at all four readings and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say about any of these things. There was one from Isaiah where it basically just talks about some random king. And I was like, by the end of this, it's going to be a history lesson. I'm going to tell everyone to love each other and then send you out into the world. And then there was other, like, it was a diss track from Paul to the Romans, because Paul is apt to do that. And I was like, no one needs to hear another diss track. So we didn't do that one. And then this one that we have here today focuses on Joseph. Joseph, an important character, a lovely character, a character that I'd never really looked at, because, y'all, we don't talk about Joseph very much, do we? And Joseph was also there type of thing. I mean, if for those with astute eyes that have looked at our nativity, Joseph isn't even next to Mary. I don't know where we put him. I think he went out to get milk or something. You know, he was sent out to the store. There's one of the three kings is there instead. And I'm like, poor Joseph doesn't even get a center stage moment. You know, Joseph is sort of also there. Nate Bargatze hosted Saturday Night Live a few weeks ago, and he came as an angel and was telling everyone at the nativity scene, you know, they're going to be singing songs about this 2,000 years from now, and songs about Mary, and songs about the three kings. And Joseph goes, any songs about me? And Nate goes, no, mostly just snow and a really Scandinavian sort of theme there, Joe. And Joe was like, but I'm here. Joseph, the story of Joseph reminds me of 9 years ago when my daughter was born. I was also there. You know, I was not needed necessarily. The nurses said, Dad, if you start getting lightheaded, there's a chair here. You can sit down. My loving, sweet, kind, gentle wife looked at me with all seriousness and said, if you pass out while I'm giving birth, I'm divorcing you. I was like, heard loud and clear, loud and clear. Didn't pack my hospital bag, so I was wearing flip-flops. That's a closed-toed shoe situation. I was not needed. In fact, at one point, the nurse turned to me and said, hey, you can go get lunch if you want. We've got plenty of time. Went to Panera, came back with Panera for myself. And as I walked in, the nurse looked at me and said, well, Dad, thanks for showing up. We're about to start pushing. I was like, I'm getting gaslit. I don't know what's going on. You told me I could go. And I stood there and I was just like, good job. We look at you. Wow. Joseph was also there. Joseph was also there. When we look at this passage, I want you to be looking for the ways that we can also be like Joseph. Because even though Joseph was just there, he was the hairy helper for Mary, he stayed and he showed up and he continued to show up. So let us have that perspective as we read about Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. Here at Shepherds, we have a tradition where the reader will say, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, and then all of us will respond with thanks be to God. But we add an extra oomph at the end. We add the word woo. So get ready with your woo. Hear the word of the Lord. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man because he didn't want to humiliate her. He decided to call off their engagement quietly. As he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, all of this took place so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did just as an angel from God commanded and took Mary as his wife. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Woo! Very good. So this whole season of Advent, we have waited for the eggs to hatch. Last night, I'm in a group chat with all the staff, and at 10 o'clock, they're hatching. We all like watch the live stream together. We should get hobbies, you guys. But we're watching, the eggs were moving. Just about as we go to bed, I look at my phone and go, oh my gosh. And Amanda goes, what? And I'm like, the egg's hatching. She was like, some context would be great, bud. And we looked at this gross little thing. Sorry, honey. Come out of the egg. It's a lot cuter now. It was blech. And it was moving, and we were ready. This whole time, we've been waiting for these eggs to hatch. And why are we doing this? Well, this is a gentle process of waiting and seeing what will happen. You know, we put these eggs into this nice warm space. It's got moisture control. It's got a live stream camera on it. We are waiting. We're being very gentle. But at the same time, it has been an active sort of waiting, not a passive sort of hangout, not a passive sort of handout. These chickens weren't just waiting around, waiting for someone else to open them up. No, they have to do the work. They have to peck through the shell. They have to grow inside the egg. And now they have to learn how to walk. And the others are actually, Kyle told me this, they're cheering on the other ones in the eggs. They're encouraging them on. That's why they all stay in there. Their peeps are like little cheerleaders telling the other eggs to hatch. Friends, this is the Christian walk, right? This tension that we have to walk through. The Christian life, therefore, is finding a balance between gentle rhythms of grace and the discomfort of growth. The Christian life, therefore, is finding a balance between gentle rhythms of grace and the discomfort of growth. You see, these eggs are nice and warm on the inside, but when these chickens come out, there's a lot of work to do. You know, life is a whole lot harder than being in a nice warm egg. Our Christian life requires us to not just sit in the comfort of a gentle, loving church, but requires us to have that painful process of growth. Hey, raise your hand if you, thank you, chickens. The chickens just said amen. Raise your hand if you remember the feeling of growing pains. You know what I'm talking about? Not like, you know, you started being annoyed by your parents, but rather like your hips and your knees and your back hurt. I will never forget. It was it was right around my 10th birthday, my knees, which I had never felt before, made their announcement, right? I could begin to feel my knees growing, and I could feel them pushing and pulling and stretching, and I cried myself to sleep most nights as every single joint was on fire as I grew. Friends, our Christian walk needs to be a balance between those two things, the gentle rhythms of grace and the painful reality of growth. Joseph steps into this in this story. God is with us. May we love like it. So Joseph is our example this morning. This is the thing, the character I want us to look at. See, Joseph here shows us what gentle growth can be. Joseph has a lot of opportunities to choose to be rough and gruff and forceful, but instead chooses that sort of gentle growth that I want us to lean into today. First, Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man because he didn't want to humiliate her. Joseph was a righteous man because Joseph set an intention. Joseph set an intention. To be considered righteous during Jesus' time and Joseph's time more specifically, the way that you would be determined that you were righteous is because you followed the letter of the law. You followed all of the rules exactly how they're supposed to be followed. You kept kosher. You kept Shabbos. You lived in the exact way that you're supposed to live. That's what Joseph did. And so when we read this passage, we see that Joseph knew what the law said. Mary became pregnant before she was married. The law said that Mary could actually suffer capital punishment by the religious community. He knew that that was what was righteous, but instead he was moved by grace. He was moved by grace. Joseph chooses righteousness, but refuses self-righteousness. Self-righteousness would have allowed Joseph to say, I'm right, she's wrong, and I can humiliate her, I can treat her any way that I want to because I'm right and she is wrong. In this season of growth, may we also choose righteousness but not subject the world to one more self-righteous Christian. We don't need any more. We have enough. We're full. We're full up on self-righteous Christians. The church, for too long, has rested on the laurels of our right knowledge and right behavior and has treated the world as Joseph could have treated Mary. But may our example today be of that gentle, sort of merciful growth that Joseph was experiencing. Joseph was a righteous man, but he did not want to humiliate Mary. May we hold on to that truth. If your pursuit of righteousness is not grounded in love, it will end in pride. If your pursuit of righteousness is not grounded in love, like Joseph, it will end in pride. This story goes very differently if Joseph is righteous so that he can prove to everyone else how righteous he is. He wants to show how good and how right and perfect he is. This story ends very differently. But because Joseph is grounded in love, his righteousness does not turn into pride. The world needs no more self-righteous Christians. May it end with us. May we be the righteous ones that choose to be righteous because of love. Because, friends, God is with us. May we love like it. The second thing that Joseph does that I want us to hold on to is that Joseph thought. I know that this seems like such low-hanging fruit, but this is the society that we're in, right? Friends, he thought. He had to think about it before he did something about it. Joseph was reflective. Joseph held back. Joseph didn't react with his knee-jerk reaction. Instead, he literally slept on it. Joseph thought. This made me think of a psalm, Psalm 145, verses 7 through 9, that says this. This is the psalmist talking about God. They will rave in celebration of your abundant goodness. They will shout joyfully about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, very patient, and full of faithful love. The Lord is good to everyone and everything. God's compassion extends to all his handiwork. Joseph, I'm sure, would have known this psalm. He would have known this psalm. Righteous men at that time would have actually recited psalms as a part of a spiritual practice. He held on to this psalm, and when we pursue righteousness like Joseph, we will emulate God. We will emulate the actions that God does. This action that God is ascribed to God here in this psalm is what Joseph does as well. Because of the intention that Joseph thought, Joseph is able to have patience. Because of his intention, Joseph is able to have patience. And that patience is met by God's grace. You know, during Joseph's time and Jesus's time, there was a transactional approach to God. There was, I made a mistake, here is a sacrifice, God forgives me, and this is how the life after God went for the first 5,000 years. If you made a mistake, you killed an animal about it, you felt very, very bad, you moved on with your life. And now, because we are in the new covenant, because of Christ's sacrifice for us, we don't have to do any more sacrifices. We are freed from that, thank goodness. I don't want to involve myself with the killing of lambs at any point. I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I've had over these chicks, let alone a whole ox, you know what I mean? But yet, I want us to hold on to this reality that God does respond to our sacrifices. Now, in the modern church, sometimes televangelists will tell you that if you sacrifice by giving your money, you know, strategically to their ministry, you will receive the blessing of, like, I don't know, maybe winning the lottery or getting a promotion at work. I'm not talking about that. Instead, I'm talking about the real sacrifice that all of us have to do when we are pursuing righteousness. Let me talk about it in the way of Joseph. Joseph has patience, and he is met with God's grace, the sort of grace like a dream where an angel comes and talks to him. I think some of us might be practicing a virtue and fail to see the grace that comes after. Whatever virtue Joseph practiced here, whatever sort of patience Joseph has, pales in comparison to the grace that God has for him. I wonder if we could have curious eyes as we practice our virtues. I don't know what virtue you're practicing. Maybe it's, you know, reading your Bible or praying or having patience or having mercy or having grace for others. I wonder if we could have curious eyes and see how God's grace shows up because of that. God is with us. May we love like it. So the next thing that Joseph shows us, the angel of the Lord says to him, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The third thing Joseph does, Joseph believed. The thing is that Joseph believed that for all of creation, human beings got pregnant in one specific way. Joseph believed that that was different for Mary and Jesus. That in all of human history, this one instance was different. Joseph believed. Now, I don't want to discredit, a saint's faith. Did he believe because an angel came to him and spoke to him? Yeah. Might it be easier for all of us to believe things if an angelic being with wings fluttered down and said, you can believe this now? That would be easier, right, friends? It was in a dream. I'll give them that credit for sure. How many of you have ever had a dream where you come up with the next great idea and you write it down just to wake up the next day, look at your notepad and just see something like dog internet? And you're like, what is that? What does that mean? How could that possibly help? That's not a very good idea. But no, Joseph gets told in a dream, this is the Son of God, and he believes. A promise is one thing, but to believe it requires love and courage. I love doing weddings. Weddings are so fun. You get to stand up there and you get to watch, you know, these kids make big promises. I'm going to love you forever. And you're like, you're 24. You don't know. You can't rent a car, you know, and yet, you know, you're going to make these promises. We got some newlyweds in the room. You make these promises that you couldn't possibly, you make them in the moment. You couldn't possibly know that you're going to believe them in 70 years. And yet you do, right? Find a community around you that helps you keep those promises again and again. You make those promises in one instance, but you keep them every day for the rest of your life, God willing, the rest of your life. And it's real easy to believe those promises when the honeymoon gifts or the wedding gifts are still in the wrapping paper. It's a lot harder when fast forward 9 years and he breathes funny, right? Or he snores real loud. I've been told that I sneeze too loud. I don't believe it. It's true. It's so loud and I can't stop it. I don't know why, you know, and it's harder to hold on to those promises. Joseph believed the promise that the angel and that Mary gave to him. And then I wonder if over those 9 months and then the years afterwards, if at 4 a.m. when the baby Jesus was 6 months old and for the 9th day in a row, he was woken up, if he wondered, is this the Son of God or is this a trial sent to me by the devil? You know, is this the moment? You know, is this, do I really? But Joseph kept believing it again and again and again and again and again. Joseph believed. I think the world needs the church to believe. I think it's hard for us to believe. It's hard for us to believe that God is with us. It's hard for us to believe that we should love differently because of it. It's hard for us to believe that we are changed and transformed every single day. 2025 has been a very long year. For some of you, you are so excited for it to end. For others, you're excited to see what 2026 has to hold. Maybe some of you are worried about 2026. But Joseph shows us the ability of the faith of a human spirit to continue to believe, even when it is just too hard. Because God is with us. May we love like it. And then Joseph shows us the love of God. Fourth, all of what Joseph did was rooted in love. The angel says to Joseph, and they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Joseph could have left Mary with her shame. Joseph could have left before the baby was born, right after the baby was born, could have left and never looked back, and no one would have judged him. In fact, others would have said he was more righteous because he left her. And yet Joseph stuck around. Joseph, people knew Jesus as the son of Joseph. That's Joseph's, old Joseph's kid, Jesus, the carpenter, he's the Son of God. They knew of Joseph. Joseph taught Jesus, you know, I don't know what the version was, how to ride a bike, you know, how to be a carpenter, taught Jesus how to get the splinters out of his hands, was the one walking with him, taking him to temple, showing him how to be a good Jewish boy, helping Jesus in his relationships with other people as a kid, cheering him on. Joseph could have left, but he stuck around. God could leave us where we are, but instead sees us for who we really are. That's why Joseph stuck around. Joseph didn't stick around because he didn't have a better option. Joseph stuck around because he saw who Mary could be. He saw who Jesus could be. He stuck around not because it was easy, but because he had enough faith to see what the next 20, 30, 40, maybe even 2,000 years would look like because of Jesus. Jesus comes to be God with us, like the one who guides the donkey, like Joseph, like the one who changes diapers, like Joseph, the one who builds the crib, like Joseph. That is the sort of God we serve, and that is how Joseph wanted to be. Joseph showed up and stayed around. Emmanuel, God with us. God shows up and sticks around because God is with us right now. May we love like it. So love and growth. You know, ultimately, Advent is about a love so great that God comes down to us and doesn't leave us where we are. The love so great that though God shows up in our lives, we don't stay the way that we are. Our growth is born from our willingness to believe and embody that sort of love. I pray that this Christmas, more than ever before, we are ready to accept this love. That as the chicks showed us how to grow, that as Joseph gave us an example of one who sticks around, as Mary showed us what true love and courage could look like, as Jesus shows us by showing up in the most vulnerable way that he could as a baby, that our love is something that will change the world. You see, God is with us. May we love like it. So I have two action points for you today, two ways that I want you to put this sermon into action. I don't want you to just hear the words. I want you to be about them, to do them. The first is I want you to maybe do something that Joseph would have done. Be like Joseph this week. We have some action points for you here. Number one, you can make an intention. We're coming up on New Year's, and you know, New Year's Eve is when we make promises to ourselves that we break in February. But those New Year's resolutions, those intentions that we could set, maybe we could set a spiritual intention for ourselves, like Joseph did. We could reflect, man, wouldn't it be great if we all just had a think, you know? If we just thought a little bit over this next week, thought about the things that we could do, thought about the ways that we could change. We could believe. What would it look like if we really began to believe that our lives are being changed by the God of the universe? And above all, I hope you are rooted in love. If we could be rooted in love like Joseph, man, how the world could change. A lot of us are going to be with family. For some of us, family is very difficult. Family is impossible. What would it look like if we could be set an intention before we go see family? And Uncle so-and-so couldn't get our hackles up because of the intention that we set. We could be rooted in love, in fact, and actually show Uncle so-and-so exactly what our faith means to us and love them in a new and profound way. The second action point that I want you to have, as you invite people to come and join you on Christmas Eve, I want that invite to be rooted in love. Not just, hey, my pastor will not shut up about this, but rather, hey, I actually think that you could get something out of this service, and I think we could get something out of you because of who you are and how God made you. I think you should come and be a part of Christmas Eve, not just because, you know, we want to fill seats, but rather because I think we're going to fill your heart, and your heart is actually going to fill us as well. May you be rooted in love. Because friends, God is with us. The world desperately needs us to love like it. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.